But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Hey, this is Stephen. Welcome back to another segment of the new Press On. You know, I've been thinking about life and how often our lives and life in general are metaphorically similar to natural events like darkness, wind, rain, and the raging sea. Do you ever think about life, your life, that way, or even humanity as a whole? There's this story in the Gospels of the Bible found in John chapter 6. It's when Jesus had just fed 5,000 people, and as evening came, he sends his disciples back across the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee, by boat. He stays behind to pray and then to join his disciples later. The writer John tells us that the disciples had rowed out 3 to 4 miles, and while doing so, darkness came upon them, followed by wind, rain, and the raging seas. Try to picture these men, some seasoned fishermen rowing in the dark 3 to 4 miles, all the while as the rain and the seas begin to pick up. Sounds scary. The word raging is used in this case. It's no coincidence. The writer wanted you to develop this mental image in your mind, and raging, I think, really does that. In fact, the writers of the Bible wrote in such a way that they utilized imagery to communicate a much richer meaning or message. All the time they did this. Thus, the imagery of rain approaching darkness and the raging sea, they all meant something. The rain or stormy conditions meant adversity or trouble, and darkness as evil, and the raging seas as a restless humanity that has turned their backs on God. In fact, Isaiah 57:20 says this, "The wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Christ used this same imagery in Luke 21 to prophesy regarding the turmoil of ungodly nations of the world in the last days. Luke records Jesus' words in chapter 21. "There shall be upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity," that means confusion, "the sea and the waves roaring." January of 2023, just a few months ago, the World Economic Forum in Davos marketed the term polycrises at their conference. They emphasized preparedness as they predicted the world and nations would face not just one major crisis event in 2023, but a series of them. The idea being that the sum of many crises would cause more detriment, turmoil, and chaos than a single event alone. Multiple crises would be more apt to overwhelm and topple systems. Take a second and look at the numerous events that have already occurred in 2023 that are taxing severely government systems. Worse yet, taxing people's confidence in the future. The mental health systems are being overwhelmed. The real pandemic is fear, caused by uncertainty and a growing sense that things are coming apart, that something's just not right. 2,000 years ago, Jesus told us what would happen in the latter days. It's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. It says this, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains." Scripture tells us that during these times, many things will occur that without question will overwhelm the systems that men have created to deal with them. It will also overwhelm people and their capacity to cope. Man's best-laid plans will begin to come apart at the seams, and people will begin to panic. Newsweek polling finds that a significant number of Americans are more pessimistic than ever about the future, which is impacting their mental health. A Pew Research Center article indicated that Americans looking towards the future see their country in decline, hopefulness is in decline as well. Stop for a second and look around you. What do you see? The threat of a nuclear war, endless wars, a border being overrun, train derailments, bank collapse, political unrest and distrust, public schools teaching godless curriculum, children at vulnerable ages being lied to about changing their sex, and barbarians masquerading as professional physicians performing terrible, barbaric surgeries, parents protecting their children being prosecuted and persecuted, grid system failures, FAA flight management system failures, fighter jets shooting down UAPs, the Pentagon suggesting alien motherships, the usual bad weather events, weaponization of government agencies, exponential increase in violence, and political arrest of opponents, and a nation of people who are turning their backs on God like a sea that rages. That frightening night when these men were rowing and getting nowhere, Jesus came walking out to them. He walked on top of the raging waves. This is a clear image that communicates to us a very clear message that he has authority over not just the seas, but over those who rage against him. He has power over a sea of a restless, raging humanity that will one day bow before him as those who have called on him as their savior or those who face a Christless eternity. Here's the hope that a raging world cannot offer you, cannot offer me, that God the Creator can calm the raging waves of the ocean, so God our Savior can speak peace to the nations and calm each troubled soul. That includes yours. Psalms 89:9 says it this way, "Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them." Scripture tells us that when Jesus entered the boat, they immediately reached the other side. This gives you a sense that as soon as he stepped foot in that boat, two things happened. One, the raging of the sea stopped, and that they reached their destination immediately. They got to the other side. Are you ready to ask Jesus to calm your restless heart and restore order that brings you a sense of meaning, value, and purpose? Don't wait. Time is short. And when you do, invite him in. Like that image of being invited and brought into the boat, things change. You won't be rowing and seemingly getting nowhere. Now, you have a place to go. You will reach the other side. This is Steve, and until we meet again, I beg you to press on.
I bury myself in 100 books, and I can't see out, nor can I breathe out. I'm struggling to make sense of simple words, and I can't mold them, nor can I hold them. So Lord, teach me your way, teach me to goodness and teach me joy.